cliffcentral.com. 360 Biz on cliffcentral.com.
It is another exciting installment of 360 Biz. My name is Tabo Mafodi. Welcome, 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 welcome. It's a beautiful Wednesday, 28th December, just 3 days, few days before my birthday. I mean, it's exactly 3 days, not few days, 3 days. So I want to put it out there so that, you know, you start preparing gifts, comrades, you see, so that you know, you start packaging things. Yana. And the good thing is that, I mean, now in studio, we even have a new WhatsApp number, so you're able to interact with us. If ever you want to send us a WhatsApp in studio, ask a question. Okay, unfortunately you can't do a video call, you know, so you can only see our guest from social media. We're going to be posting some of their pictures, and we're going to be definitely doing video of what is happening in studio. Our WhatsApp studio line is 079-748-2090, 079-748-2098. Oh, 2090, sorry. We're on social media as well. My social media, it's at Tabohoma40. On Twitter, it's Tabohoma40. On Instagram, it's Tabohoma40. On Facebook, I'm not alone in studio. I'm with my boy, Bulelani Bala. Bala.
It's my birthday in exactly 2 days. I'm putting it up. I'm saying this just in case you buy me something, we'll recycle it, repackage it on the third day. We'll give it to him now, man. I'm very excited to be in studio. I'm having a very upbeat morning. I feel like I went to the gym, but I haven't been to the gym in the past 9 months. But mm-hmm. I feel like I went to the gym. I feel strong. I feel tough.
And you're doing the thing that I've never seen you do in studio. Drink coffee, my man.
No, I love coffee, actually.
Really?
I love coffee. Hey, Joe, something weird happened. You know, I was driving now, minding my own business, and someone pulled a gun on me. I'm serious. Like a
when?
White,
today?
White guy on the highway, yeah.
Well, for what? I'm driving.
No, I don't know. I don't know. I was doing my own
Please
thing.
Tell me you got the number, please. At least let's expose this idiot.
Nah, I left it. For a moment there, you know, the hood in me was like, let me follow this person. But the sane man in me was like, but I don't have a gap. I don't have anything to pull out. Well, I'm going to pull out his motivational words. And I was like, nah, in such situations, let me just keep it moving. But I mean, it's a beautiful day. It's a bit rainy, but it's a beautiful day. We've got beautiful guests in studio. I'm sure you'll tell us a bit about them.
Yes. And you know, the most interesting thing when I it's our guests don't know what we're talking about today. I didn't tell them as to what we're talking about. So I thought, you know what, we'll just roll them over right here in studio.
Yeah, that's perfect.
and we're just going. But anyway, how was the 16th, Fred?
Man, the 16th was alright for me. It was work. How was the 16th for you? How was the 16th and the 25th?
Okay, the 25th I was home, you know, bored as heck. I even asked myself, why did I come back to this country? I should have stayed in the States. But the only difference is it was colder. However, on the 26th, what things changed. I think he happened, you know, and we decided to paint. I think the town red. But however, I mean, I'm excited. I'm going to be celebrating a birthday. I mean, you know, December, but you know, some of us, it's unfortunate that are having birthdays in December the 31st.
So basically,
I don't get to celebrate my birthday. I mean, everyone else has got appointments, they've got events, they've got social activities that they attend to. And most importantly, my man, that's the time of the year where people are beginning to be broke. you know, because they've actually got their salaries way before the 16th. So the salaries were spent on the 16th, they were spent on Christmas. And towards my birthday, people are starting to
giving stories. Preparing to borrow money from you.
Preparing to borrow. Yes, you know. But the most exciting thing that I've done, Budela, and for the past 5 years, I've always done these isolation trips where, you know, I just go have an AGM with God and just decide, you know, to say what is one going to do in the new year. And most importantly, thank God for the previous year that, I mean, what he has done. And I think for me, it's something that has been saving me a lot of trouble and a lot of money. I mean, speaking of spending and people being paid salaries, today's show is different as we used to be having entrepreneurs. But today I'm not having entrepreneurs. Instead, I'm having entrepreneurs. To some of you might be asking, what are entrepreneurs? Entrepreneurs are different levels, Chana. You know, it's all about levels. I'm sure you know of it. So these are individuals that are playing within protected environment. So it means that these are entrepreneurs, but that are working for companies. So their way of invoicing is them through getting a salary or them being paid. So these are part of individuals that are forming part of a growing middle class or economy, a black economy, most importantly, I must put. I hope there's no one with mixed blood here or Indian. My brother, are you not Indian? Yeah.
No. I'm black.
Oh, okay. Yes, definitely. These are the guests that I have today. And I mean, most importantly, they're very relevant, you know, in the subject matter that we're discussing today. I mean, they are part of a growing middle class, like I've said, and an economical advanced generation. I mean, reality is today, at this day and age, we as Africans or blacks are carrying various forms of influence, most importantly, economical influence. But now the question is, how do we spend or grow this economy is the discussion of the day. Ladies and gentlemen, you might be wondering who my people are. In studio, I've got a brother. He called himself Stone. I don't know why he calls himself Stone. You know the guy in the Bible, David, I mean, that used the stone. I don't know, is it on that aspect? Or maybe what is it on? However, we've got a lady as well that is an amazing lady by the name of Ulwazi that I'm going to be having as well on the show. But I mean, I'll give an opportunity for them to actually come in and say hi, so that you hear exactly who they are, you know, and yeah, I guess then we'll get to our discussion. What do you think?
No, I think so. So basically, this gentleman on the 26th was your Mureki.
No. Were you my Mureki or I was the Mureki?
No, of course I was the Mureki man. Talking about.
He's the man.
No, definitely. No, I like that. You know, and I was hoping, Bulelani, there's a lady that just walked in studio, Mpo. But I don't want to say who she is, you know. But anyway, she'll say herself. I know her. I know she's very vocal about the discussion that we're going to have today. I think we'll bring her on later on the discussion. Maybe let me take this opportunity, my brother, to start with you, Stone. Since people are already hearing you, you know, laughing here on the mic, and they're answering, I wonder who this hunk is. Do you want to take this opportunity to say hi to our listeners? Tell us who you are and what is it that you do?
All right, thanks, Debs. My name is Stone, as you said, but my full name is Awantwa Stone Mulaudi. I'm from Secunda, that's where I reside. Mm-hmm. But then born and bred in Witbank, Emalahleni. Shout out to everyone in Emalahleni.
This man comes far.
It's like 10 people.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, well, in Secunda, I'm there. I'm employed, as you said. I'm an entrepreneur.
Okay.
I'm an engineer by trade, metallurgical engineer. I work for a company X. Mm-hmm. in Secunda, and I've got some business interest obviously here and there, but mostly my main economic activity is my job.
Okay. Yeah. No, definitely. Sissy?
Hello.
How are you?
Fine, and how are you?
Good, thanks. I love your smile.
Thank you.
You're looking amazing, by the way. We bring beautiful people in
studio.
No, definitely. Do you want to say hi to our listeners? Tell us who you are and what is it that you do?
Thank you, Teboho. My name is Lwazi Ngosi. Mm-hmm. But my full name is Tolu Lwazi. I'm from, born in Springs, but I reside in Benoni, Mohill. I work for a crude oil company, but I specialize in petroleum.
Mm.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. I've brought learned people, you see.
Yeah, very smart people. Mm. I think that my mental capacity is going to be very challenged is today.
Yeah. No, it's fine. Before we move on as well, let's bring in Pompo. Come say hi to our listeners, man. You know, people are dying to hear this voice. Look at that smile. Ooh. Look at that smile. I know in studio we must have a webcam. But
I'm actually just going to back down and sit down, so I leave it to them.
Okay, but you've not said hi.
I have said hi.
Oh, you do.
All the listeners, my voice is gone.
All of a sudden.
Oh, okay. No, definitely. Moving right along. I mean, how blacks spend their money has been a hotly debated topic, not only on this show, but in our offices, at social events, and in beauty and barbershop across the globe. I mean, as we look at the year in review, as it's coming to an end, this topic is not most popular and it's not discussed. Hence, I want us to discuss it today on the show. But before we actually discuss this topic, there's a clip that I want to play, and we take it from there. Then I think after the clip, it will do an introductory onto the show. Then from there, we'll hear as to what your opinion is. We'll be back right after this.
Because true economic science is a branch of military science. War and money go hand in hand. Most wars are fights so people can make more money, and war is money. So that means what? That the European American is not about to prepare black children to compete with his children for control of the economic sector. It's not going to happen. So if black people want this science, we got to teach it, we got to study it, and we're going to have to make some mistakes in perfecting it because we're still babies in the water of global economic commerce. As African people, we are financially illiterate. So we should not be surprised that we're so economically backward because we were never taught how to be economically forward. Our education in America has not provided or prepared us to be able to compete with Europeans economically. The historically black college was designed to do what? Teach you how to work for white people. Public schools, charter schools, parochial schools, independent schools. What is the purpose of education in America for black children right now? To teach them how to make a living working for white people. But I don't want the kids coming to my school to be going to class thinking that I'm learning this so I can go and get paid by a white person. They want to be empowered to start their own business. When they leave that school, they're going to go into business. And why do we need our people to be self-sufficient? Because when you're not self-sufficient, you can't speak your mind. One of the biggest reasons why black people have been so cowardly in the post-civil rights movement, not standing up for ourselves, standing up for our children, standing up against police brutality, we're scared to lose our jobs. We have to work. We got kids. I can't talk about the racism on my job. I might lose it. So the reason why we're not speaking our mind is because we don't have economic freedom. As Mr. Garvey said, Marcus Garvey said, that a solid racial program must be built on a solid economic foundation. Show me your economic condition, and I'll show you your political condition. The political economy of the black community rests on the premise that because they do not make their own money, they are enslaved to Europeans. And as a result of that, they will never be able to do what needs to be done to carve out a future for their children, because the hand that pays is also the hand that rules them.
Yeah, I mean, that is indeed the discussion today. For me, one thing I love about my job, you know, I can talk about anything that has to do with money. Bulena, I think we've got a good job, right? Yeah, well?
No, definitely.
Yes,
definitely.
I think
more than anything, this is one of those topics that really need to be spoken about.
Yeah,
in detail, so that we can equip ourselves, so that, I mean, going into the new year, we are much wiser and smarter about our money, because we cannot have as a repetitive cycle that, I mean, on the 7th or 10th of every month, we are down and out, you know.
Yeah,
I think it's finding smarter ways of utilizing our cash. I don't know what some of those smart ways are, but I'm sure they are.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think, but maybe before we get on to this discussion, I think we must commend and appreciate our guests today. Because, you know, right now, the reason I particularly brought these guests, not only as my friends, but it's because these people are involved in dress skills, you know, and they're inspiration to young people out there. That's why I want these people to be the one that listen to you speak today. You know, because at the end of the day, we all come from different backgrounds, different challenges. I mean, some of us came out of poverty, out of a bad situation, to turn situations around for us to be able to live. I mean, I know your story. I know your story, you know, but I think maybe just quickly to somebody that is listening. Today, my brother, you're an engineer. You are in all. How did you start?
Yeah, it's a long story. It's going to take 2 days to. No. How much time do we have?
No, we keep it short, just on in overview.
Remember, it's long history. Okay. Well, like I said, I was born in Witbank.
Mm-hmm.
I went to school there in a very black primary school in Itraleng. That's where I did my basic education and then went on to high school in Limpopo, actually. And then, bam, my parents passed on. You know, it gets hard when you don't have parents. Mm. And then I had to go to varsity. Fortunately, I got good grades in matric. I started actually at varsity. I did medicine.
Oh, okay.
I had a bursary from Limpopo, the health department, and things went bad there. Then I moved to engineering because I realized medicine wasn't for me. You know, blood and
yeah.
You know, but things got hard. I mean, I lost my bursary. I had to, you know, hustle. That's, I think, where I learned the basic skills of, you know, hustling and getting extra passive income from the side. I had to hustle to get food, even, you know, to get school fees and all of that. But finally, here am I, you know.
Yeah.
Made it.
No, definitely. My sister?
Okay, with me, I went to an art school in high school, and I had this big dream of doing theater. Let's say act in different countries and move with that theater production. And then that all changed when I went to varsity and I took advertising management because I didn't know what to do in varsity. I did that, did my diploma, and then I told my mom that I don't see myself doing advertising for the next 10 years. And then I was home waiting for my graduation, and then, okay, my mom runs a recruitment agency, so they were looking for someone at the company that I'm currently working at now. They were looking for someone to temp at reception. And then my mom took me there, and she said, look, you can temp, you can make some extra money. On my first day there, I knew this is where I want to be. And I didn't have the skills. I didn't know anything about crude oil, petroleum or gas or anything of that sort. And yeah, the rest is history.
Yeah. But am I good or am I white, bro?
Yeah. But the thing is, I'd really love to hear the journey in between.
Yeah. And one thing as well, I think one thing I love, part of the show as well, we try to give maximum exposure to whoever that comes onto the show. That's why my brother does an organization called Township Entrepreneurship Alliance every month, where we gather entrepreneurs and different people within the township just to instill that hope and that faith to say, do not give up. You know, there's people that are doing amazing things. I know that for me, once upon a time, I was in the aeromedical industry. I never knew there's even that existed, you know. But reality is, the one thing that brings us, all of us, in common in this studio is that we don't all have a silver spoon. You know, we don't all have a trust. That's why today I said I want to have trust babies, you know, and my kids own properties and this and that, because I want to be able to give them what I was not able to have. So reality is, we on this hustle, we're on this journey that we're pushing and that we're struggling for. And today, I mean, we're professionals, we're doing whatever that we're doing in our own right, but reality is, we're going forward. So the reason the discussion of today is so close to my heart is so that, how do we empower each other around the discussion that we fear talking about being money? Because right now, you see, it's December time. You go out there, you see kids, they turning up. Others are becoming blessers. The others are becoming blessees. There's vorpas and there's all of these things that are taking place. I love that car, by the way.
You love the vorpas.
I love the vorpas.
You've got the skin color for the vorpas.
I know, dude. So reality is, we see a black child failing out there, you know. So that's why, as well, even in terms of us who are in business, you'd be saying to somebody, I'm starting my own business, Fitu. You're posting on Twitter or you're posting on social media, you get 3 likes, you know. But when you come, you said, I got a job, you know, you get 110 likes,
yeah,
you know. So the priority is changing. That's why for me, there's nothing that I would love that one day to see you run your crude oil company or whatsoever, you know, or even a shareholder in that kind of company. And same goes for you, my brother, you know, in what you do, to say, how do we take ownership of whatever skills that we have, how do we take what we working at or the little that we have and monetize it back? You know, maybe let me ask this. At the end of the day, obviously, sitting in this room, we've got different landscape, or, you know, on how much we earn and how we spend our money. Maybe just a quick rundown. Cesar, how do you spend your money?
That's a difficult question. Look, I always say, like, it's very important to have a budget and plan well in advance. Like, now that it's December and there's a lot of spending and Santa Claus here, Santa Claus this, you know, you shouldn't be taken by these worldly trends. Sometimes it's important to think for next year and have a plan as to what you want to do and what you want your money to do for you, you know, not just saving, but actually having a plan within the money that you get per month and saying, this is what I wanted to do for me for 2017.
Mm. Mm. And I mean, you know what I'm curious about? Mm. With those plans that you set, I mean, how easy is it for you to execute on those plans?
It's not easy if you don't have a vision for what 2017 could look like. For example, what Tebogo was talking about is that there's a difference between entrepreneurs and interpreneurs, right? Entrepreneur is a person who works for a corporation, who has a vision, who takes the skill, who doesn't underestimate the skill that they are getting within that corporation at that time, and takes that skill to open a business one day. So you need to have the skill to be able to think out of the box and say, because I want to have a business in 2017 or 2018 or 2019, let me not spend much. Yes, I need to entertain myself. I need to look good, but let me put some money away to maybe go to school for another course, or I don't know, register your company. It could be anything.
So it means, in short, you're saying, let me delay buying a Vurpa, you know, for the sacrifice of getting what I want.
It depends. If the Vurpa is your end destination, then it's okay.
It's my start destination.
For me, it's not.
No, definitely. No, it's a good point that you've made, my sister. My brother, how do you spend your money?
Okay, it depends. Depends on which term of the year it is. You know, what I'm doing on the year. Mostly I've got a plan for example, this December. Let's talk about this December. I knew I was going to see a lot of family. I knew there was going to be...
So you budgeted, you know, for us?
I did.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I did. That's why I was a Moreki throughout. It's all in the budget. So
I'm going to coach him tomorrow. Yeah?
No, what I do normally is I've got... some means of passive income that I, you know, try and accumulate during the year. I think we've spoken in depth over the few days that I've been with you.
Okay, do you know that passive income?
No.
I'm
thinking
income?
Drugs. I'm
so,
thinking.
You know, I don't know what you're on about, bro. So maybe you can give us a sneak preview to how do you create that passive income? Because somebody else right now, the reason I want to put it out there so that it's important, we've got young people that are listening. Others are on the verge of giving up on life. Others, they're on the verge. They're working, yes, in that little job that they have. But whatever that they're getting, it's not sufficient. So right now, a person would be thinking, okay, my brother spoke about passive income. You know, let me still stock, you know, for me to be able to get that passive income. Let me do this and that, you know. So that's why for me, it was strategic why everyone is sitting here. So that the person that is listening is able to be transformed and is able to be influenced by your life.
All right, thanks. All right, like as you said, I'm an entrepreneur. I work for a company, right? So I get a salary.
Okay.
And that's limited. And, you know, you get to spend your salary before you even receive it. So you already have a plan. It's okay.
Before you even receive it, I like it, yeah.
I must do that. And then you've got so little left. So what I normally do is that you know, like Robert Kosek says, you pay yourself first before paying anything else. So first thing I do is that I say, okay, fine, I've got this amount of money that needs to make money for me, for example, for the month or for whatever season I'm going to be going into. So what I do is You've seen my car, right? My Vrpa.
So, hey, Malshade.
So the Vrpa I use for they hire it out for weddings and all of that. Now it was December. I had a lot of gigs from that side of things. So that's my passive income. One of it.
Very smart.
Understand. So people like it. They hire it out and they make them pay for it. There's other things like cash loan businesses. There's a certificate that I've acquired a few months ago for loaning cash. So then I spoke to a friend of a friend of a friend who has been in the business for a while, and then they're doing it for me. So that's also part of the first income I'm getting monthly. But there's a lot more other things that I'm doing. That's what I'm saying. We could speak here for the whole day. So I don't believe in, you know, just receiving salary.
So you see, you read the Bible like I read it. You know, the Bible says 7 streams of income. You know, so it's something that is key, and I know for a fact it's something that as well my sister still needs to get to. But now the crux of today is that we're seeing young people wasting money. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't know the importance of saving. They don't know the importance of investing that money. In short, we don't know how to make money work for us. That's why at the end of the day, there isn't this thing. It's called a red race. It's so that we work, we get, we spend, we go back to work, and the process never stops. When does it ever stop? And then the question is, does it ever stop? I don't know, Bulenani. You know, when does it ever stop? And does it stop?
I think it stops.
Because right now, for me, I'm in a point in my life. I'm tired of hustling. I want to start living.
Yes. You know what you're speaking about right now is a conversation I had with a gentleman. I think it was on the 24th at night. I went to, so there's a local restaurant that opens up 24/7 because it's at a convenience center. So I ran into this oldest gentleman who's been an entrepreneur for years. And then we start talking about business. And then, I mean, the conversation then reaches a climax, and then he's telling me how he's no longer doing the stuff that he was always doing, you know? But he tells me that, you know, there reaches a point in time where you realize that you need to be a man. And when you need to be a man, you need to grow from one level to the next level. So that is why he left that part of the business. And now he's doing security, a high level with the FBI and whatever. And this is a local guy, you know. So now, you know, my biggest question was, you know, how do you know? Because, you know, what Debo was talking about right now is a very important one. How do you know that you now need to gear up and move it up a notch so that you do not stay in the same repetitive cycle over and over and over again? You know, I think that's a question that I had from the conversation, you know, because what he says is that his answer was, you know, you'd feel it, you know, you'd feel this thing, and it would start to weigh on you. It'd start to become a yoke and a burden on you, pushing and pressing down on you, where you're realize that now you need to switch it up a notch and change. But here's the thing, even if you feel like changing, at that time, that is your point of income. What do you then change to that still keeps you on the same level, you know?
Yeah. No, that is so true. And after that, it's, I believe, the man that you give your money, you give your power to. So now it comes to what I want us to now to get into. Right now, I'll make an example. You look at the Muslims, the Indians. The Indians, their money circles in between them, I think, about 17 times before it goes out. So that's why you'll go to an Indian brother going to buy fabric, and you said you need tires. He'll tell you, I've got my brother that can do that. You know, I've got my, you need oil for chip. My brother, you know, I've got a sister that can do that. You know, you look at Jewish people, they do the same thing. You look at other, you know, cultures and race. It's not a race discussion, but they do that. You know? But at the same time, when you look at us black sisters and brothers, we the first ones that jump to take our money outside our race before it rotates within us. So, cause at the end of the day, it's for me, that's why in my business, I mean, you know what I do. I put together, you know, business, black businesses with potential. And I'm glad that some of them today, I mean, they've managed to do some of the biggest projects they've ever done. Some of them, they've become millionaires, you know. But obviously, how they spend that money becomes another thing, because others, they start going for vurpas and this and that, you know. To say, now, the money doesn't rotate, you know. How much percent of your money do you spend on a black person, on a black business?
Yeah, you know, that's difficult because you can't really quantify that.
Mm.
I mean, if you're not buying bread, you're not going to go to a spaza next door and buy bread there, for example, because now, you know, the black people, we, the middle class especially, we don't want to leave Kukasi anymore. So you move to a place where, you know, you have to buy bread, go shop right, you know, go pick and pay. So it's difficult.
Mm.
You know, when you want to, simple things, man, even you just want to buy groceries, you can't go spaza shop where you go. So it's very difficult to actually say, you know, how much percentage of my money I'm spending on blacks.
Yeah.
However, I try by all means to support black businesses. I mostly, you'll see, I wear t-shirts. I buy from Majita Bailongori. They're hustling on the side. They're making t-shirts. They're doing such things. I try very hard. Car wash. I wash my car Kukasi. I don't compromise. I don't go to Sasol car wash. And, you know, I really try hard to support small black businesses. Mm.
So, Lwazi, why do you think we don't support each other?
When it comes to, I think it's also a mentality that another black person doesn't have the skill or the will right to be able to do another business, you know. I think we need to change that mentality because being the majority in South Africa, we need to empower each other. So I strongly believe that if black people start from today and support one another, it's we do so much.
Mm.
Yeah.
No, definitely. Mpo, you have a comment for us? With a bit of 2 cents experience.
I'm, as Lwazi said.
Come close to the mic.
Sorry. As Lwazi was saying, it's a mentality shift that I think as black people also need to do. Because I also have picked up, like, Kukasi, you'll find that someone who believe or going to a doctor, you know, that white old doctor, you know, I'm going to get cured, where there's this young doctor that's just come in and he started in his practice, you know. And it's for me, it's as she's saying, we just need to have that shift where just because gay, and it's going to sound like such a racial comment, but it's not.
No, sorry.
Just because it's, they have, we also have this thing called kya lehoa. So shop ya lehoa is better than what you're going to get, goes past a shop, you know, at what you'd get at a white whatever shop. It's going to be better than what you get, go a black whoever owned spaza shop. And it's completely, completely, just, I don't know, like I've said, it's just changing that whole mind shift thing.
You've got something to say, my brother?
Yeah, just to come in there. Like in terms of black businesses, ne? Most of the time, the presentation is also key. You know, I'm not saying with Aki, by pet or whatever, but we tend to slack in that side of things. You go to, for example, a white coffee shop. You know, everything is nicely laid. The staff is nice. Everybody is, you know, the service is good there. You know, then you go to Kukasi, you know, they'll be asking you, yeah, man, she lona and you know, so such things are very important. I think our black brothers need to learn how to, you know, do this thing.
No, you know, you've just raised a very valid point. Lwazi, tell me, I'm sure you've seen when you go to a spa or a Woolies, you know, cashiers, you know, they're so rude to black sisters that seem. I mean, looking at Umponje, neatly in your patara, I'm sure the attitude you get. Why do you think is that?
No, it's terrible because I mean that's why I say it's a mentality. I think if we as black people change how we see other black people, because when I come to ShopRite and I'm looking good and I have a nice bag or you can see that I come from work, you get angry at me. In most cases, it's people who have anger issues. It's not really a matter of black hate. It's just anger. So I think if black people had to start changing their mentality when it comes to seeing other successful black people, maybe there would be a big change.
Mm. Yeah, no, definitely. But why do you think they are rude, sis? Why do you think they look at you otherwise and act otherwise?
You know what? I also think that the problem is also with us. That Mpo that comes and walks in there with her bag, with her branded bag and her whatever things, you don't even take time to actually even notice the person that's serving you, you know? It's, you don't even greet. I think it's, I don't even know how to explain it because I've seen it happening a lot. And I've seen it when you walk in, you sometimes greeting a person in their own language, you know, in your own mother tongue or so. That goes a long way. You know, like you'll walk in there, it's like, excuse me, sorry, can you just please ring that? I think you rang it twice, you know, and you're talking to this person, there's a bit of attitude. Nyana. So, and I think with that, not resentment, but they probably look at you and think, you know, you had opportunities that they probably didn't have or so. Mm. And it's not jealousy, but it's sometimes you just wish you had what they probably had. And you're resentful because you're sitting there, you've been sitting there since whatever time it is. And you've been treated the same way that this person is treating you, not only by your own people, but by, you know. So I just, and maybe I might be wrong, but yeah, that's just my perception of that.
Yeah, you know, with what Mpo is saying, it actually reminded me of something. Guys, I'm sure we've all experienced this. Hey, black businesses, over-promise and under-deliver. Have you ever been failed on the veg? I mean, I was watching Speak Out. I mean, I don't watch TV. So I was just browsing in my house. The next thing, Speak Out. This lady was getting married. So went to this guy to get a video camera. And this guy in entire events management service, video this and this and that. And guess what? The service provider dropped him the day before her wedding, at night. I mean, so they had to now, you know, and she's already paid deposit and everything. You know, they had to. You know what? The lady cried because she says the day that was supposed to have been the happiest day of her life became the worst of her life. Because now even the husband said, "Wabon." You know, so she took the blame. And even in pictures that she has of her wedding, it's people that took pictures with their cell phones and sent them to her on her wedding. So she has nothing. And right now they're chasing this guy that needs to pay back the money.
I think that's one of the worst, you know, because I think if we just live on the sole premise that you undercommit and you overdeliver, you know, you'd shift the narrative of black business more than anything. Because I think that there's a lot of that. And one of the biggest ways to change it is just overdeliver and underpromise, overdeliver and underpromise. Because the biggest thing about that is, although we do not all run the same business and we are not all partners, I mean, if you go out there and you mess up in terms of as a black entrepreneur, it kind of messes up my chances whenever I want to come into that same office and propose a different idea, even if it's a totally different service that I'd like to offer and render. Mm-hmm. So I think that delivery is one of the most important things. I think, I mean, when you look at this country and how even larger corporates don't deliver, you'd kind of think that delivery would be a USP to a certain degree because no one delivers, you know? Mm-hmm. And I mean, to a certain degree and point, if you as a small business will deliver, that's a catalyst.
Yeah, no, definitely. No, that is very true. So for me, it's these are the real conversations that we don't have in our communities. These are the real conversations that we don't have amongst friends and amongst you know, young individuals or professionals for that matter. So that's why obviously for me I felt that today let's have these discussions. And because I want us to actually extend it beyond this show. The good thing about the show that we do, it's got a podcast. You know, if ever, I mean, you need to send it to somebody to listen, put it on social media, or even encourage somebody to actually listen, to say, let's have these discussions. Because I think we are agents of change in our own little, you know, land or in our own small right, that we can influence a whole lot of people within our circle. For me, I mean, Bulelani knows I try by all means to influence people around me. That's why as well, even when there's an opportunity, I'm not selfish. I open up an opportunity because the higher you go, the colder it gets. So the more of us are there with buying power to say, you know what, let's buy this out or let's buy whoever out. I'm able to say, you know what, I've got 10 million or I've got 20 bars and I need maybe another 50. My man, how much do you have? Or no, I've got 5 bars, I've got this and that. Right now we can't have those discussions because there's few of us that are having that power to actually make those decisions or those choices. So, I mean, it's something that for me, I thought, you know what, let's put it on to the show, that as much as it's December, it's coming to an end, and we're seeing what our sisters and brothers are doing out there. And to some of us, you know, it's not nice, you know, You know, and I think we have the potential to change and influence other young people that are listening, you know, out there, or that are even watching our lifestyles. Because I've realized that you could be inspiring somebody without you knowing. You've never spoken to them, but them looking at you, they're becoming so inspired to actually do greatness in life.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true. And I think, I mean, you know, this topic is a big one, actually.
It is.
I'm sitting here thinking about the different scenarios in terms of dialogue that, you know, we could be delving into. And, you know, one of the biggest things that I've always asked myself is, you know, is it really to a certain degree that the highest point that one could get to is entrepreneurship? You know, because I see a lot of people being driven from don't work, start your own thing. And one of the biggest questions I've always had, I know that the show is, we're gonna shut the show down in a couple of minutes, but are we trying to drive everyone into entrepreneurship? Is everyone supposed to be in entrepreneurship? You know, those are some of the questions that go through my head, because I don't think that everyone is supposed to be in entrepreneurship.
Hell no.
But what I agree with is what you said a little bit earlier on about the 7 revenue streams.
Mm.
You know, because, I mean, when you're able to build up 7 revenue streams, then you still do what you're passionate about, because I'm sure there's someone who really loves driving a taxi. And because of the fact that most people frown upon it, we then think that now you don't have goals or you don't have dreams, but most of these guys probably have a lot of money sitting wherever.
Mm.
And because of the fact that they've been savvy and smart about their money, you know.
Mm.
And I think that my biggest discussion and conversation is then, you know, don't try and go into business, but try and most importantly have what we're talking about here, an entrepreneurial mentality, so that you can always be enterprising. You know, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think before maybe we close off the show, just a quick one. I want us to discuss, we're going to rotate. I want you to tell me, what is it that you're going to do different in 2017 that you've not done? I'll start. I know one thing is that I think about 2 or 3 months back, something happened that required me to get financials, bank statements, and everything for the last two years. And I realized the amount of income that I made, not in my business only, but in personal capacity. So now I've made a conscious choice to say, what I want to start doing, I want to start being the spreadsheet kind of guy. I want to start accounting, where is my money going? Because I want to know who I'm giving my power to. Mm. You know, I want to know what I'm spending my money on, because it's not like I'm spending my money on girls. It's not like I'm spending my money on Vurpa. It's not like I'm, you know, but I want to be able to be better accountable for my money in terms of making a better choice for it, especially in 2017. What is it that Bulelani do want to do different in 2017?
I think what I'd like to do different in the new coming year is managing my time better. You know, managing my time in proportion. You know, I had a conversation with one gentleman who was breaking down to me how he manages his time. And no, the process to his time, the process to his month, the process to his year, and how he actually runs his life on a daily. You know, I love that. I loved it to a certain degree because, I mean, working hours, it was a mechanism that was running. And then after hours, he was very chilled about how he was doing things. The way that I do business and scaling my business, building more systems into my business, I think there's quite a bit that I'd like to change. And I think one of the biggest things here is that one of the biggest things that we all need to applaud ourselves with moving forward is the fact that we're actually seeing gaps to actually change.
No, definitely. I think next week let's have this guy, because time management, I realize, is something that we lose in what we do. I always say what you do from 5 to 9 when you've knocked off, it's what will determine the level of success that you will reach.
Yeah.
So, and most of us get consumed in time. Horesh, I'm working, I'm studying, I'm doing this. So maybe let's have a discussion around time management,
how
we could better manage our time. So Lwazi, what is it that you're going to do different in 2017? Sis?
I think what I'd like to do better in 2017 is doing more business with black females in the petroleum business, because there's no, you know, the petroleum business is very white dominated. There's not a lot of black people in the petroleum business, more especially black women. So every time I get a chance to, if I find a client who's a female and is black and wants to buy petrol from us, I try by all means to push that account to ensure that she's happy and she's actually got bread and butter. And what I'd also like to do different is obviously putting systems in place in my own work so that I'm respected in my corporation. You know, I'm not just that other black person, you know. I'm they take me seriously.
That is so important. You know, yeah.
At least with that, they can take a black person seriously on another level. And also, by the time I decide to go independent, if I perhaps open my own thing one day, they would want to do business with me because they know Luazi's been good from back in the day at our corporation.
No, definitely. Yeah. My brother, what are you going to do different?
Right, Debza, Mina, well, for me, I think I'm going to focus more on my health. I want to do more, go to the gym more often, you know, play more sports, and over and above, you know, what we've already discussed in terms of creating more and more income streams, you know. So I'll try very hard to keep healthy, keep fit, and I think that's very important. People tend to forget about themselves and focus on other things that are not as, you know, crucial as your health. Because you can't buy your health.
Maybe we must bring him back to discuss this health thing.
you really can't buy health. You can be the richest person in the world, but you know, if you're unhealthy or if you're sick or whatever, you know, that you really can't do anything.
No, definitely.
So I'll try and work on that too, and yeah, over and above what I'm doing now.
Okay, Mpa, what are you gonna do different in 2017?
Trade what I got for a vrpa.
Honesty.
On a serious note, I think a lot of the time there's a, I think it was like one of those memes or something that was going around that says something like, you know, we spend so much money trying to acquire things we don't need to impress people.
We don't even like,
you know? And I think a lot of us are very, very guilty at doing that because a lot of the times it's to prove, yeah, I could have one, so you know what? Yeah, somebody thought I couldn't do this, I'll just do it because, you know? And I think, and there was also someone that once said to me that once you get into your 30s or your older 30s, it's not about impressing people anymore. It's about you being comfortable with who you are, you know? And for me, it's about not getting those things just because I just want to prove a point, but just acquiring things that you really, really need, you know, letting go of those things that and cutting on the shopping as well. So yeah, it's a bit of that.
Amen on cutting on the shopping. Yeah, no, definitely. No, guys, thank you very much for coming on the show. We've come, unfortunately, to the end of the show. You know, time always runs when you're having a good time.
Definitely.
But we always close off the show in style. A 30-second word of inspiration to somebody that is listening.
Get things done. Always get things done.
Get things done. Always. Sister?
Show up.
Show up. Nice. Simple. My brother?
Do good.
What is your word of inspiration?
Nothing is impossible.
Nothing is impossible. And what am I saying? You live once. Your life matters. I think if ever you'd listen to the show of today, I think a lot of good experiences came out of it to say what you can do. I mean, look after your health. And most importantly, show up. You know, I think it has been summed up. And you don't just show up and look pretty, but you get things done.
Yeah.
You know, to say there's no time to live a life of regret is for you to make the best out of the life and what God has given you. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Debo Homafodi. This is all that we had for you today. Catch us again next time for another exciting installment of 360 Biz right here on Cliff Central. We out.
CliffCentral.com.